The quality of self-evidence does not yet exist in the kingdom of freedom. Thus, the movement of liberation is from the kingdom of necessity into the kingdom of freedom and into the kingdom of the good, where the good is willed of and for itself. These kingdoms of necessity, freedom, and the good do not delineate three eras, but rather three stages always present in the experience of freedom. They are steps in the experience of freedom. Whoever experiences freedom experiences the liberation from necessity, experiences the responsibility of making a choice, and he experiences a vision of what is good and what is evil. We always stand in the tension between freedom and necessity, and in the tension between the freedom to choose and the freedom to do the good. Now, what is then true freedom? This is, I believe, the last question I would like to answer. What is true freedom? The first designation that we recognize in history defines freedom as power and lordship. The essence of history is a struggle over power. Whoever wins the struggle is free. Whoever loses is not free. The linguistic root of the word free comes from the society of slaveholders. In such a society, free refers to the lords, and unfree refers to the lords' slaves, wives, children, and cattle, as the Ten Commandments says. The Lord rules over them, and they are his property. His freedom is a function of his property. He alone has the all authority to retain or to banish them. Paul used the same language when he described the liberated community of Jesus, where there are neither free nor slaves. In this expression, the lords, the masters, are called the free, and their counterparts, the slaves. In the liberated community of Jesus, they are neither free nor slaves, neither men nor women. They are all one in Christ, and together inheritors of the promise, Galatians 3:28. Whoever understands freedom as lordship can only be free at the costs of other people whom he subordinates to himself. Modern liberalism attempted to abolish this form of lordship of the few over the many, but only succeeded in individualizing the principle of lordship. Each person is his own lord. Each has a right to determine himself. Each is, in effect, his own property. To be sure, the principle of slavery is then conquered, and servitude is abolished. But what is put in its place? Are we really already on the threshold of the kingdom of freedom? In the ideal liberal world, everyone is free only for himself. The only limit to his freedom is a freedom of the other. Who wants to use his own freedom must respect the freedom of the other person. So each one is free for himself, but it is a lonely freedom. The other and nothing else is a limit of his freedom. Each one is for himself, but no one takes interest in the other. Is this already true freedom? A second designation that we recognize from history, even from the linguistic history, defines freedom as friendship and as community, not as lordship. The old German root for the word free means friend, to be friendly, to love, to open oneself for the other. I am free and I feel myself to be free When I am accepted and loved by others, I am free and I feel myself to be free when I in turn love and accept others. In mutual acceptance and in common life, I open my life for others. I let them participate in my life and I participate in their life. In this mutual participation, which we call solidarity or friendship, we are freed beyond the boundaries of our own individualities. This is certainly the social side of freedom, underdeveloped, unfortunately, in the West. Freedom as lordship destroys community because it divides community into the lords and those who live on the dark side. Freedom as lordship is not yet true freedom. The truth of human freedom is community, is love. In love, true freedom is established as friendship. Freedom now in relationship to God may be described in a similar way. In the kingdom of the Father, God is a Lord, and we are his servants under his power and under his law. Whoever is a servant of God is dependent on God, but at the same time he is free in relationship to all other things, because he is a servant of the highest. This is a form of freedom. Thus, servanthood in God is a first step toward our freedom. In the kingdom of the Son, God becomes our brother, and we are transformed from servants to free sons and daughters of the Father. This was the meaning of the cry, Abba, dear Father. This is the meaning of the hyotesia in Paul's theology. Thus we become not only free in relationship to the world, but also free in our relationship to God. And then in the kingdom of the Spirit, God reveals himself in an inner experience of the Spirit and in a communal experience of the Spirit in the congregation. And here we are no longer the children of God, but full privileged friends of God. God needs us. God listens to us. This is the meaning of being a friend of God. Each of these steps, servanthood, sonship, friendship, points finally to that kingdom in which we become participants in the glory of God himself and see him from face to face and are never without him. This is a Trinitarian doctrine of human freedom. Where the great Lord of the world rules, there is no freedom, not even the freedom of the children of God, Ernst Bloch said. He was right. But the Christian faith worships not the great Lord of the world, but God, the Father of the crucified and risen Son. For that reason, the Christian faith cannot be described as only as an experience of absolute dependence, but rather as an experience of expanding freedom, of expanding friendship with God. The triune God is our infinite freedom. Let me close this lecture with the words of a mystic, Angelus Silesius. Du edle Freiheit, du, wer sich nicht dir ergibt, der weiß nicht, was ein Mensch, der Freiheit liebet, liebt. You noble freedom, whoever never surrenders himself to you will never know what he loves who loves freedom. But what does the one loves who loves freedom? The answer of Angelus Silesius was, and I think we can agree, wer Freiheit liebt, liebt Gott. Whoever loves freedom, loves God. Now this is the end of my Warfield lectures on the doctrine of Trinity. Let me thank you for your interest and for your questions, especially for your critical questions. And let me finish with the famous concluding words of African storytellers. Whatever has been good in the story is yours, and whatever was bad remains my property.